Captain's log, stardate 43539.1. We have moved into orbit around Braille 4 with the assistance of the planet's emergency control center. We're investigating a catastrophic threat to the population from a descending asteroidal moon.
Satellite's trajectory is continuing to deteriorate, Captain. This orbit will put it within 500 kilometers of the planet's surface.
We're predicting the atmospheric drag will bring it down on the next orbit.
Have you been able to find any explanation for this?
No, Doctor. It is a most unusual phenomenon.
Won't the moon disintegrate prior to impact?
No, it has a ferrous crystalline structure. And it will be able to withstand tidal forces, Captain.
Could we blow it into pieces?
The total mass of the moon would remain the same, Commander. And the impact of thousands of fragments would spread destruction over an even wider area.
How long before impact?
29 hours, sir. Projecting it somewhere on the western continent. That would destroy an area 800 kilometers in radius.
That damage would be insignificant, Captain, compared to the seismic repercussions, massive land quakes, and tsunami.
The force would raise a cloud of dust around the planet, leading to a significant temperature reduction. We could be looking at our own ice age.
Mr. LaForge, is there any way that the Enterprise could coax that satellite back where it belongs?
We'd need to apply a delta V of about 4 kilometers per second. Even with warp power to the tractor beam, it would mean exceeding the recommended impulse engine output by at least 47%. It'd be like an ant pushing a tricycle. A slim chance at best.
Given the choice between slim and none, I'll take slim any day.
Make it so.
Lieutenant Worf, contact all ships in the sector to rendezvous and join us in relief efforts.
We'll keep you advised of our progress. Picard out.
Can you give us any more, Geordi?
Not without burning out the tractor beam emitter. The circuits are already beyond the thermal limit.
Delta V is 92 meters per second. The mass is too great. We are having an effect, but it is negligible.
What is that?
Unable to identify source.
Impulse engines passing safety limits. We're seconds from automatic shutdown.
Reduce engine power. Tractor beam off.
Lieutenant Worf, what the hell did the sensors say?
The sound is not registering, Commander.
Q. Red alert.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Deja Q, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher. Theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Captain's log supplemental. We are no closer to finding a solution to the deteriorating orbit of the Braille 4 moon, but with the arrival of Q, we now have a good idea of the cause. Our options?
We've done everything by the book and a little extra. We need more time or power, and we're short on both. I'll take a look and see if there are any rules I haven't broken.
Keep me informed.
We know you're behind this, Q.
These aren't my colors! And what are you blathering about, Riker?
What kind of twisted pleasure does it give you to bring terror into their lives?
Whose lives?
The millions of people down there who are watching as their moon falls out of the sky.
Oh, I haven't the vaguest idea what you're talking about, and I have a much more serious problem. I'm no longer a member of the Continuum. My superiors have decided to punish me.
And punish us as well, it would seem.
They say I've spread chaos through the universe, and they've stripped me of all my powers. You don't believe me, do you? Do you think I would humiliate myself like this?
If it served your purpose, yes.
It's the truth. I stand before you defrocked, condemned to be a member of this lowest of species, a normal, imperfect, lumpen human being.
They made you human as part of your punishment.
No, it was my request. I could have chosen to exist as a Markovian sea lizard or a Belzoidian flea. Anything I wished, as long as it was mortal. And since I had only a fraction of a second to mull, I chose this and asked them to bring me here.
Why?
Because in all the universe, you're the closest thing I have to a friend, Jean-Luc.
Sir, he is reading as fully human.
What, is there an echo in here?
I am sensing an emotional presence, Captain. I would normally describe it as being terrified.
How rude!
What is it you want, Q?
Your compassion. All right. Sanctuary on this ship, dreary as it may sound to the both of us.
Return that moon to its orbit.
I have no powers! Q the ordinary!
Q the liar! Q the misanthrope!
Q the miserable! Q the desperate! What must I do to convince you people?
Die.
Oh, very clever, Worf. Eat any good books lately?
Fine. You want to be treated as human?
Absolutely.
All right. Mr. Worf. Throw him in the brig.
Delighted, Captain.
You can't do this to me, Jean-Luc.
You will walk or I will carry you.
Given the option, I'll walk. You've disappointed me, Jean-Luc. I'm very disappointed. Hey, I'm claustrophobic. I don't like it in here. It was a mistake. I never should have picked human. I knew it the moment I said it. I think of a future in this shell. Forced to cover myself with a fabric because of some outdated human morality. To say nothing of being too hot or too cold. Growing feeble with age. Losing my hair. Catching a disease. Being ticklish. Sneezing. Having an itch. A pimple. Bad breath. Having to bathe.
Too bad.
Klingon. I should have said Klingon. In my heart of hearts, I am a Klingon, Worf. Sorry. So you understand, I could never survive in confinement. I mean, this is cruel and unusual punishment. The universe has been my backyard. As a fellow Klingon, if you would speak to the captain on my behalf, I would be eternally grateful. Which doesn't mean as much as it used to, I admit.
Be quiet! Or disappear back where you came from!
I can't disappear. Any more than you could win a beauty contest. If I were to ask you a very simple question, do you think you might be able to answer it without it troubling your intellect too much? Ready? Here goes. Would I permit you to lock me away if I still had all my powers?
You have fooled us too often, Q.
Oh, perspicacity incarnate. Please don't feel compelled now to tell me the story of the boy who cried Worf.
Computer, activate force field.
I demand to be let out of here, do you hear me? You will deactivate this cell immediately. Romulan! I should have said Romulan, that Klingon goat.
The question is, what sort of jaded game is he up to this time?
Maybe he just wants a big laugh. He'll take Brielle 4 to the edge of disaster and then pull the moon back.
Or he may have nothing to do with it at all.
You honestly think Q is telling the truth?
Oh, I agree. This is highly unlikely, but we have to proceed with our current dilemma as though Q is powerless to prevent it, don't we?
And there he sits and he watches us struggle.
I don't see that we have any choice. Mr. Worf, will you hail the Brielle 4 science station?
They're standing by, Captain.
Yes, Captain Picard.
I'm sorry, but I have to report that our first attempt to restore the moon to its proper orbit has failed.
We have less than 25 hours before impact, Captain.
Our chief engineer is working on ways to reinforce the tractor beam.
So there is a hope. But if you have an evacuation plan...
We have already started moving people from the coastal areas of the western continent.
We are going to make another attempt shortly. Picard out.
I've got to tell you, Geordi is not at all optimistic.
What the devil?
Data?
Sensors are showing broadband emissions, including Bertholdt rays.
Lethal?
No, Commander. Overall exposure is less than 75 rems. Very low intensity, more like a soft medical scan. I would speculate we are being probed.
By whom?
Sensors cannot identify the point of origin. It seems to be coming from all around us.
Throughout the ship, a bright white light bleaches color from every object. Geordi stares in surprise through his visor in engineering, and the brig is filled with light, which condenses to a small, blurred, floating ball and passes through the containment field on Q's cell. It hovers above his recumbent sleeping form and disappears. Picard strides into the brig where Q sits in his cell waiting.
Oh, you've come to apologize. How nice. All's forgiven. No offense taken.
Enough. Q, what exactly is going on?
Oh, but how can I know what's going on? I've been in this dungeon of yours. Alone, helpless, bored to tears.
We have a moon inexplicably falling out of orbit. And just now this ship was probed with Bertholdt radiation.
I wasn't aware of this. Truthfully, Jean-Luc, I've been entirely preoccupied by a most frightening experience of my own. A couple of hours ago, I realized that my body was no longer functioning properly. I felt weak. I could no longer stand. The life was oozing out of me. I lost consciousness.
You fell asleep.
Oh, terrifying. How can you stand it day after day?
You get used to it.
What other dangers await me? I'm not prepared for this. I need guidance.
Q, I'm not going to play along with this. If you want to continue this charade, you can do it alone.
Jean-Luc, wait! This is getting on my nerves now that I have them. You have a moon in a deteriorating orbit. I've known moons through the universe. Big ones, small ones. I'm an expert. I could help you with this one, if you let me out of here.
There are millions of lives at risk. If you have the power...
I don't have any powers. But I have the knowledge locked up in this puny brain. You cannot afford to not take that advantage, can you?
Mr. Data, report to detention cell 3.
On my way, sir.
Computer, remove the force field. If you are human, which I seriously doubt, you will have to work hard to earn our trust.
I'm not worried about that, Jean-Luc. You only dislike me. There are others in the cosmos who truly despise me.
Mr. Data, you are hereby assigned to Q for the remainder of his stay. You will escort him to Miss LaForge in engineering.
Aye, sir.
Can I have a Starfleet uniform? What are you looking at?
I was considering the possibility that you were telling the truth, that you really are human.
It's the ghastly truth, Mr. Data. I can now stub my toe with the best of them.
An irony. It means that you have achieved in disgrace what I have always aspired to be.
Q looks at him quizzically as Data steps aside and Q walks towards the doorway. Data follows close behind as they enter the corridor.
Humans are such commonplace little creatures. They roam the galaxy searching for something they know not what.
The human race has an enduring desire for knowledge and for new opportunities to improve itself.
Well, there's certainly room for improvement, but the truth is, Data, they are a minor species in the grand scheme, not worth your envy.
Oh, I do not feel envy.
Well, that's good.
I feel nothing at all. That is part of my dilemma. I have the curiosity of humans, but there are questions that I will never have the answers to. What it is like to laugh or cry or to experience any human emotions.
Well, if you ask me, these human emotions are not what they're cracked up to be.
The moon will hit its perigee in 10 hours. Now, we match its trajectory, increase emitter coolant rate so that we can apply continuous warp equivalent power 9 to the tractor beam. We can push it for nearly 7 hours, and I think that just might do it. But there's a problem.
The Enterprise will be dangerously close to the atmosphere.
That's the problem.
This is incredible.
You see something here, Q?
I think I just hurt my back. I'm feeling pain. I don't like it. What's the right thing to say? Ow?
Ow.
Ow! I can't straighten up!
Medical assistance to engineering.
Q, I've got a few people down on Braille 4 who are gonna be hurt.
Yes, yes, yes. Your marvelous plan will not only tear the moon to pieces, but your precious ship as well.
You got a better idea?
Well, I would certainly begin by examining the cause and not the symptom.
We've already done that, Q, and there's no way to...
This is obviously the result of a large celestial object passing through at near right angles to the plane of the star system. Probably a black hole.
Can you recommend a way to counter the effect?
Simple. Change the gravitational constant of the universe.
What?
Change the gravitational constant of the universe, thereby altering the mass of the asteroid.
Redefine gravity. And how am I supposed to do that?
You just do it! Oh! Where's that doctor anyway?
Geordi is trying to say that changing the gravitational constant of the universe is beyond our capabilities.
Oh. Well, in that case, never mind. Ah, Dr. Crusher. I see Starfleet has shipped you back into exile.
Q says he has hurt his back.
Uh-huh.
She scans Q's lower back with a tricorder.
Well, if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. According to this, he has classic back trauma, muscle spasms.
I've been under a lot of pressure lately. Family problems.
Well, don't expect too much sympathy from me. You have been a pain in our backside often enough.
Oh! Oh! Your bedside manner is admirable, Doctor. I'm sure your patients recover quickly just to get away from you. Oh!
You know, this might work. We can't change the gravitational constant of the universe, but if we wrap a low-level warp field around that moon, we could reduce its gravitational constant. Make it lighter so we can push it.
Glad I could help.
Ow.
I think.
Now what?
There's something wrong with my stomach.
It hurts?
It's making noises.
Maybe you're hungry.
With a hand on his stomach, Q enters 10 forward with Data and they sit at the counter.
I've never eaten before. What do I ask for?
The choice of meal is determined by individual taste.
What do you like?
Although I do not require sustenance, I occasionally ingest semi-organic nutrient suspension in a silicone-based liquid medium.
Is it good?
It would be more appropriate to say it is good for me, as it lubricates my biofunctions.
That doesn't sound very appealing. What else is there?
A wide variety of items. The replicator can make anything you desire.
How do I know what I desire?
I have observed that the selection of food is often influenced by the mood of the person ordering.
I'm in a dreadful mood. Get me something appropriate.
When Counselor Troy is unhappy, she usually eats something chocolate.
Chocolate?
A chocolate sundae, for example. Although I do not speak from personal experience, I have seen it have a profound psychological impact.
I'll have 10 chocolate sundaes.
I've never seen anyone eat 10 chocolate sundaes.
I'm in a really bad mood. And since I've never eaten before, I should be very hungry. This is not a moment I've been looking forward to.
Guinan enters behind them and Q's eyes narrow in angry anxiety. She walks slowly towards Data and Q and stands beside them, her hands on her hips.
I hear they drummed you out of the continuum.
I like to think of it as a significant career change.
Just one of the boys, eh?
One of the boys with an IQ of 2005.
The captain and many of the crew are not yet convinced he is truly human.
Really?
She looks behind Data and picks up a fork, stabbing it into Q's hand.
Seems human enough to me.
This is a dangerous creature. You have no idea why Picard would make her a member of the crew and not me.
It must be terribly frightening for you to be totally defenseless after all of those centuries of being omnipotent.
I'm warning you, I still have friends in high places.
Frightening one race after the other, teasing them like frightened animals, and you enjoying every moment of your victim's fears.
From now on, I'll do missionary work, okay?
That would be a most noble cause, Q.
Could learn a lot from this one.
Sure, the robot who teaches the course in humanities.
I am an android, not a robot.
I beg your pardon.
I'd enjoy that, and you better get used to it.
What?
Begging. You're a pitiful excuse for a human. The only way you're going to survive is on the charity of others.
With a look of disgust, she turns away. Two crew members place trays of chocolate sundaes on the counter and look over at Q, who turns slowly away from them.
Ugh, I'm not hungry.
Captain, sensors are picking up a cloud of energetic plasma, bearing 341, mark 20. Range, 12 kilometers and closing.
On the screen.
A cloud of swirling light appears on the screen.
Energy patterns are reading as highly organized.
A life form?
Attempt to make contact, Mr. Worf.
Receiving a signal, sir. On speaker.
Computer, analyze signal.
Signal patterns indicate intelligence. Unable to derive necessary reference to establish translation matrix.
What's that? I don't know.
The cloud passes the windows of 10 forward and the crew watches in awe.
Calamarine.
Suddenly, a blue ball of light bursts through the hull and surrounds Q, who jumps up, scraping at himself.
Captain, we're being hit by a field of energetic tachyons penetrating the hull. Location? Deck 10, forward.
Red alert.
Geordi, increase power to shields.
Increasing power by 20%.
No effect.
Increasing to 40%.
Still no effect.
Data approaches Q and tries to grab him, but a static electric charge shocks both of them.
Adjusting shield harmonics, diverting power to the forward grids.
The added harmonics are blocking the tachyon field.
Help me! Somebody help me!
How the mighty have fallen.
Captain's log supplemental. We have sustained light damage from an attack by an alien species known as the Calamarain. They apparently have a grievance with Q. No doubt one of many life forms that do.
The Calamarain are not very hospitable creatures. They exist as swirls of ionized gas.
What did you do to them, Q?
Oh, nothing bizarre. Nothing grotesque.
You tormented them.
A subjective term, Riker. One creature's torment is another creature's delight. They simply have no sense of humor, a character flaw with which you can personally identify.
I say we turn him over to them.
Oh, well, I take it back. You do have a sense of humor, a dreadful one at that.
I'm serious.
Of course. You knew this would happen, didn't you?
One can never anticipate the Calamarain. They're very intelligent, but very flighty.
Yes, but you must have so many enemies. Certainly you knew that if once you became mortal, some of them might look you up.
It had occurred to me.
Mm-hmm. And for all your protestations of friendship, your real reason for being here is protection.
You're very smart, Jean-Luc. But I know human beings. They're all sopping over with compassion and forgiveness. They can't wait to absolve almost any offense. It's an inherent weakness of the breed.
On the contrary, it is a strength.
You call it what you will. But I think you'll protect me, even though I've tormented you now and again.
Fighting off all the species which you've insulted would be a full-time mission. That's not the one I signed up for.
Indeed. Human or not, I want no part of you. We will deposit you at the first starbase. Let them deal with you.
But I could be a valuable member of the team. I'm human. I can learn.
He has provided important theoretical guidance for Geordi's analysis of the Brielle satellite, Captain.
It seems you have an advocate, Q.
I am merely stating the fact, Counselor.
Mr. Forge, your status.
I've been putting together a program to extend the forward lobe of the warp field. The field coils aren't designed to envelop such a large volume, but I'm attempting to modify their alignment parameters.
Maintaining field integrity will be difficult, Geordi.
Well, I'm pretty sure that we can do it manually. The moon will come to its perigee in 14 minutes.
Mr. Data, you will escort Q to engineering. You will assist Mr. LaForge. Mr. Worf, hail the Brielle 4 science station.
Aye, sir.
Picard thinks I can't cut it on his starship. I can do anything his little trained minions can do.
I do not perceive your skills to be in doubt, Q. The captain is merely concerned with your ability to successfully interact with his little trained minions. Human interpersonal relationships are more complex. Your experience may not have adequately prepared you.
I'm not interested in human interpersonal relationships. I just want to prove to Picard that I'm indispensable. Engineering.
To function aboard a starship, or in any human activity, you must learn to form relationships.
Ugh, it's so hard.
And of more immediate importance is your ability to work within groups.
I'm not good in groups. It's difficult to work in a group when you're omnipotent.
The tides reached 10 meters on the last orbit. They're already beginning to swell again. We have a lot of frightened people down here, Captain.
Your moon has begun moving towards its perigee. We're preparing to make our attempt.
Our population has already taken shelter. But I'm afraid no shelter will be adequate if you fail, especially for the people on the western continent.
Whatever the results, we know you've done your best, Picard. It's appreciated.
We'll keep you advised, Doctor. Picard out.
Captain, sensors are picking up an increased energy output from the Calamarain.
LaForge to bridge. The moon has reached its minimum orbital distance. It's time, Captain.
We'll have to lower shields.
Proceed. Mr. Worf, keep a close eye on Q's friends out there.
Understood.
All right, everyone, this is what we're going to be doing.
Q, everybody already knows what they're going to do except for you. Now, here's what I need.
LaForge, obviously my knowledge and experience far exceeds yours by about a billion times. So if you'll just step aside, gracefully.
Q, your experience will be most valuable to me if you can manually control the field integrity.
Don't be foolish. That would be a waste of my talents.
Q, get to the controls or get the hell out of here. Data, you're my liaison to the bridge. I'll need you with me.
Who does he think he is giving me orders?
Geordi thinks he is in command here, and he is correct.
Engineering, holding at station keeping. Range, 640 meters.
Containment fields to flight tolerance.
Warp core to 90%.
Engage field coils. Tractor beam to standby. Field output. Field output.
217.
Impulse engines to full. Ready to engage tractor beam.
Lowering shields, engage tractor beam.
Extending warp field forward.
Engineering, is that the forward limit?
Yes, Captain. We are unable to encompass the entire moon.
You recommend that we proceed?
The two parts of the moon will have different inertial densities.
Stand by, Captain. I can adjust the field symmetry to compensate.
I doubt it.
You don't know what this ship can do, mister. Yes, Captain. I still believe it'll work. Increasing power to warp field and tractor beam.
And if you're wrong, the moon will crumble due to subspace compression. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Shut up, Q.
I will not be spoken to in this manner.
Data?
Q, I strongly suggest that you cooperate.
Inertial mass of the moon is decreasing to approximately 2.5 million metric tons.
It is working. We can move it. Firing impulse engines.
Captain, the moon's trajectory has moved 0.3%. 0.4%.
Emergency, shields up.
Disengage tractor beam.
Calamarain attacking. Shield holding. Tachyon field repelled.
Captain, the impact of the blast is pushing us into the upper atmosphere.
Hull temperature rising. 2,000 degrees?
2,500 degrees.
Moving to full impulse power.
Calamarain resuming attack. They've overpowered the shields. Hull penetration, deck 36, engineering.
Geordi, can you direct any more power to the shield?
We need all the power we have to get out of the atmosphere, Commander.
The bleaching white light returns and two balls of blue light attack Q, rising through and over his body.
Try activating the structural integrity field.
Yes, sir.
Suddenly, Q rises into the air and Data grabs his ankles, holding him down.
It's not working. Structural field harmonics on manual.
LaForge, hull temperature falling. We're in the clear.
Diverting power to forward sections now.
The lights disappear and Q and Data collapse to the floor. With the Calamarain positioned between the Enterprise and the moon, Geordi scans Data's circuitry in sickbay.
That charge nearly knocked out his positronic net.
What can you do for him?
We can try to discharge and reset the motor pathways, recouple the autonomic nodes.
There's overpressure in his fluidic systems. Thermal shock.
If he was mortal, he'd be dead.
Well, let's not overstate the matter here, Doctor. I'm mortal and I survived. Well, the cheers are overwhelming.
Q, you exceed your own standard of self-preoccupation. You have no concern for an officer who may have saved your life.
He's strong. He'll survive.
Osmotic pressure's still rising. Maybe we can bypass the flow regulator.
It would be helpful if everybody just got out of here now.
Picard turns and walks to a guard at the door.
Stay with Q.
The guard ushers Q away.
Geordi? The moon's trajectory.
All we did was buy ourselves another orbit, at most. We can try again when the moon comes back to its perigee.
And when we drop our shield, the Calamarains go after Q again.
Commander, he's not worth it.
Come. You're right, of course. I'm extraordinarily selfish. But it has served me so well in the past.
It will not serve you here.
Don't be so hard on me, Jean-Luc. You've been immortal all your life. You know all about dying. I've never given it a second thought. Or a first one, for that matter. I could have been killed. If it hadn't been for Data, and that one brief delay he created, I would have been gone. No more me. And no one would have missed me, would they? Data may have sacrificed himself for me. Why?
That is his special nature. He learned the lessons of humanity well.
When I ask myself if I would have done the same for him, and I'm forced to answer no, I feel ashamed.
Q, I'm not your father confessor. You will receive no absolution from me. You have brought nothing but pain and suffering to this crew. And I'm still not entirely convinced that all this isn't your latest attempt at a puerile joke.
It is a joke. Joke on me, joke of the universe. A king who would be man. As I learn more and more what it is to be human, I am more and more convinced that I would never make a good one. I don't have what it takes. Without my powers, I'm frightened of everything. I'm a coward. And I'm miserable. And I can't go on this way.
Shaking his head, Q stands up from the desk and exits, leaving the captain sipping a cup of tea thoughtfully. Q enters sickbay where Data has been reactivated.
He's going to be all right.
We're recalibrating his language circuits, so he can't talk yet.
There are creatures in the universe who would consider you the ultimate achievement, android. No feelings, no emotions, no pain. And yet you covet those qualities of humanity. Believe me, you're missing nothing. But if it means anything to you, you're a better human than I.
Q turns away and walks out of sickbay. Data turns to look at the doctor and Geordi in surprise and confusion. Q walks sadly towards a turbo lift.
Where's the main shuttle bay?
Main shuttle bay is located on deck 4.
Take me there.
Captain, an unscheduled shuttle has just been launched.
Our main viewer.
They watch as the shuttle maneuvers away from the rear of the ship.
Hailing frequency.
Frequency's open.
Shuttle occupant, identify yourself.
Don't try and talk me out of it, Jean-Luc.
Q, return to the ship immediately.
I just can't get used to following orders.
Captain, the plasma cloud is moving toward the shuttle.
It's easier this way. They won't bother you after I'm gone.
Engineering, prepare to extend shields.
Please, don't fall back on your tired cliche of charging to the rescue just in the nick of time. I don't want to be rescued. My life as a human being has been a dismal failure. Perhaps my death will have a little dignity.
Q, there is no dignity in this suicide.
Yes, I suppose you're right. Death of a coward, then, so be it. But as a human, I would have died of boredom.
Picard looks to Riker, who shakes his head, and they watch as the shuttle is engulfed by the Calamarain cloud.
This goes against my better judgment. Transporter room 3, log on to shuttle 1. Beam it back into its bay.
Aye, Captain.
It's a perfectly good shuttlecraft.
Captain, unable to transport. For some reason, I can't lock onto the shuttlecraft.
Worf, are you sensing any interference from the Calamarain?
No, sir. But they are still moving toward the shuttle.
Geordi, extend shields around shuttle 1.
Extending shields. Commander, the shields are frozen.
Cause.
Unknown.
Lock on tractor beam.
Tractor beam is not functioning either.
What the hell is going on?
Not bad, Q.
A figure materializes through the shuttle's hull.
Not great. But not bad.
Q!
Sacrificing yourself for these humans? Do I detect a selfless act?
You flatter me. I was only trying to put a quick end to a miserable existence.
Ugh. What a dreadful color.
Yeah. What are you doing here?
Oh, I've been keeping track of you.
I always thought you were in my corner.
No. Actually, I was the one who got you kicked out. You know you're incorrigible, Q. You're a lost cause. I can't go to a single solar system without having to apologize for you. And I'm tired of it.
I wasn't the one who misplaced the entire Deltivid asteroid belt.
Hey, this isn't about me. I got better places to be. But somebody had to keep an eye on you to make sure you still didn't find a way to cause trouble. Even as a member of this limited species.
Well, I hope I've been entertaining you.
Barely. But I find these humans rather interesting. I'm beginning to understand what you see in them. After all the things that you've done, they're still intent on keeping you safe.
A genetic weakness of the race.
And they're still at it. They just tried to beam you up, back, whatever it is they call it.
Really?
I stopped them.
Well, if the Calamarains hurry up and finish me off, we can get you back on your way.
Afraid I had to put them on hold, too. You see, there's still this matter of the selfless act. Now, you and I both know that the Calamarain would have eventually destroyed the Enterprise to get to you. And that's really why you left, right?
Was it? Teeny bit selfless, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's my problem. See, I can't go back to the Continuum and tell them that you committed a selfless act just before the end. If I do, there's gonna be questions, there's gonna be explanations for centuries.
I've learned my lesson, Q.
Remember who you're talking to. All-knowing, all-seeing. Fine. You got your powers back. Try and stay out of trouble.
Clicking his fingers, his uniform is suddenly the claret color of a Starfleet commander.
So they wanted to destroy me, did they?
Disappearing, the Calamarain cloud reappears in Q's palm.
If you think I tormented you in the past, my little friends, wait until you see what I do with you now,
Q.
I was just seeing if you were still watching.
Captain, the aliens have disappeared. And so has the shuttle.
Scan the sector.
I have, sir.
Well, I suppose that is the end of Q.
Q appears with a Mexican band.
Au contraire, mon capitaine! He's back! I'm forgiven. My brothers and sisters of the Continuum have taken me back. I'm immortal again, omnipotent again.
Swell.
Don't fret, Riker. My good fortune is your good fortune.
Two women appear on Riker's arms, rubbing his chest.
I don't need your fantasy women.
Oh, you're so stolid. You weren't like that before the beard. Very well.
The women reappear at Worf's side.
Q! But I feel like celebrating!
I don't!
All right.
All of it.
Oh.
Now,
at the risk of being rude.
Yes, once again, I've overstayed my welcome. As a human, I was ill-equipped to thank you. But as myself, you have my everlasting gratitude. Until next time. But before I go, there's a debt I wish to repay to my professor of the humanities. Data, I've decided to give you something very, very special.
If your intention is to make me human,
Q... No. I would never curse you by making you human. Think of it as a going away present.
Data, why are you laughing?
I do not know. But it was a wonderful feeling.
Captain, Rail 4 is hailing us.
On screen, Lieutenant.
Captain Picard, you've done it.
I'm sorry?
The moon. It's back to its normal orbit. However you did it, thank you.
Let's see it, Worf.
A graphic depicting the moon's orbit appears on the screen.
Mr. Data, your analysis?
The moon's altitude is 55,000 kilometers. Projected orbit is circular. There is no further danger to the planet.
Ensign, set course for Station Nigala 4.
Aye, sir.
Perhaps there's a residue of humanity in Q after all. Ensign? Ensign?
Don't bet on it, Picard.
The end.